Blog Talk Radio.
This is DYAFN. Devil, you ain't fooling no one. Brought to you by Nollyvette Milligan. It's Blog Talk Radio, back at it again. Compliment to host Nollyvette Milligan. True friend, listen in, let the healing begin. Once again, kicking Satan smack dead in the chin. Been relieved of his duty, all his works are destroyed. Staying strong in the truth, always walking in joy. Devil, use a lie, you ain't fooling nobody with your toys. Strapped with a KJV, 66 to kill all that noise.
All glory, all honor, all power, all praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to another edition of the DYAFN radio program. I am your humble servant, Nollyvette Milligan. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to continue in our series of Bad Girls of the Bible. Today we're going to talk about a woman that I don't even have words for. This woman made her mark in the Bible, and what is funny is that she never even had a name, but her husband had a name. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back, and I tell you what, let's get our praise on. Let's see, how are we going to praise the Lord today? You know what? Let's do it very sweetly. One of my favorite praise songs, Vicky Yohe, Because of Who You Are, right here on the DYAFN radio program.
Glory, because
At Gifts by Nilivet, we have over 1,000 items to choose from for all of your gift-giving needs, from weddings to baby showers, holidays and graduations, from housewarming gifts to busy executives who may need corporate gifts, to gift cards and even sports merchandise. Gifts by Nilivet can cover all of your gift-giving needs. Go to giftsbynilivet.labellabaskets.com or contact us at 888-661-0933. And during this month only, when you spend $75 or more with us, you get a free tote bag by inserting the code FREEBAG. And for a $9.95 subscription per month, save 20% off of our entire website. So what are you waiting for? Just go to giftsbynilivet.labellabaskets.com or contact us at 888-661-0933. Gifts by Nilivet. We want to be your personal professional gift consultant.
Welcome back to the DYASM radio program. I am your humble servant, Nilivet Milligan. We're continuing in our series of Bad Girls of the Bible. This week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about one bad girl, and she made such an indelible mark in the Bible, but yet we do not know what her name is, okay? But we definitely know who her husband is. Now, of course, this particular bad girl comes from Genesis. And if any of you know the story of Joseph, then you definitely know who this woman is. Now, before we talk about her, let me tell you who her husband was. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and her husband's name is Potiphar. He was an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials. He was the captain of the guard. He bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. And Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his entire household, and he entrusted his care to Joseph with everything he owned. Okay? Now, the bad girl that I'm talking about is, of course, Potiphar's wife. Okay? In this instance, we've got the bored wife and the hired man. Okay, it happened some 35 centuries ago, and still the story has the power to take our breath away as the audacity of a woman who thought she could ignore her marriage vows and graze in greener pastures. She was simply known as Potiphar's wife. And as I said before, the woman didn't even have a name. She was one of the major hussies of the Bible. There is a stronger word that I cannot use because I'm a Christian. And she didn't possess a simple moniker to call her own. She was the wife of, period. We can imagine her propped up against a stone pillar at one of Pharaoh's lavish feasts, adorned in her best plaited wig, drenched in her costliest perfume, the ancient equivalent of obsession, no doubt obsession, when a woman of a higher station strolled by in her spun gold sandals and pointed a ruby-ringed finger in her direction. Potiphar's wife, isn't it? You know, Potiphar, he was her meal ticket, undoubtedly a big guy, and not only in a position. Potiphar was the head of Pharaoh's bodyguards, and as such was surely a very large man, you know, wide shoulders, bulging biceps, broad chest, the biggest and baddest of them all. And, of course, he had been around a while. And, you know, even though he was past his youth, but he wasn't past his prime in the bodyguard business. And in other words, everybody knew Potiphar. But see, nobody cared enough to remember his wife's name. Now, many a man have, you know, enjoy having a trophy wife to display on his arm. You know, like, she's mine. You know how it is. Some men just like possessions. They've got to have the fanciest car, the fanciest house, the prettiest wife, the biggest bank account. And guess what? This happens in the Christian world, too. We've got to have the highest tithers in the congregation. We've got to have the biggest congregation. We have the most loyal ushers and servants. We have the prettiest women. You know, our men are the most faithful. This is the kind of stuff that happens in church, too, y'all. So don't pretend as if this is unfamiliar territory, because it's not. So let's continue. When Potiphar was with his wife, his eyes say that as he pats his wife's soft hand possessively, you know, how men do, they sit up and like, this is mine or this is my wife, or touch some part of her anatomy as if to say, you know, as if she's a claim ticket. You know what I'm saying? So who knows if Potiphar's wife saw herself that way? It's possible that she liked the title and liked the flicker of admiration she saw in strangers' eyes when she introduced herself as the proud wife of Potiphar, a man whose access to the Egyptian courts and to the ear of Pharaoh himself. Or she may have grown weary of the limitations of the title, or having her entire being defined by her marriage to a powerful man. And there are a lot of people out there like that. They're married to celebrities. They're married to, well-known people in law or in, science or different things like that. And all they can say about themselves is, I am the spouse of. You know, because it's not just wives that lose their identity. There are men who are married to celebrities that lose their identity, too. Okay? And some of them just can't handle it very well, especially when they're being ignored. So let's continue on. She may have grown weary of the limitations of the title, of having her entire being defined by her marriage to a powerful man. With a house full of servants, she clearly had too few responsibilities and too much time on her hands. Well, as one writer puts it, idleness became the soil that nourished her sinful thoughts. Okay, let's elaborate on that for a minute. A lot of you men out there, you don't want your wives to work. You want her to raise the children, clean the house, and everything else. And believe me, that's a job within itself. But if you are a man of means and you have a nanny and you have a maid and you have a gardener and all this kind of thing, well, your wife doesn't have anything to do but cook for you, have sex with you, and that's it. And most people have more to them. They have more substance to them than that, okay? Potiphar's wife, even without a name, she became synonymous with lust and other things. I'll put it like that. Did God know her name? Absolutely. Why is it not recorded in Scripture then? One commentator suggested that there is no satisfactory answer to the silence of Scripture regarding the identity of its nameless women. And there were lots of them, both good girls and bad girls, identified by what they did, whom they married or gave birth to, or where they hailed from. More than 100 women are simply described in Scripture as the daughter of, wife of, witch of, woman of, concubine of, widow of, nurse of, or queen of. Well, at least that one has married. And naturally, the mother of, someone more famous than she, i.e. Mary. I know that one well, as at my child's school, I was known as the mother of Alexandria, my daughter, okay? And I had no name, no identity. They recognized my car, but not my name. Aren't you Alex's mother? Yes, I am. Just like I was married to someone in the music business, they never knew that my name was Nilevette Milligan. They only knew that such and such and so's wife or Sister Mo or anything like that. They never, ever knew my name because my identity had been attached to my husband. My ex-husband was a person that was well known here in Dallas. He was a gifted singer. He was a DJ and he was a rapper. He recorded CDs or whatever, and all of the attention was focused on him. It didn't matter about my own accomplishments. Okay, so I understand kind of where Pontifar's wife was coming from as far as an identity crisis, because I had been done up like that. So let's continue in the story. Now, I know that, I'm sorry, wait a minute. We do have a caller on the line, caller from 909-964. You're on the air with DYAFM. Who may I ask is calling, please?
I mean, you know who this is. This is Quiet Storm. How are you? Talking about who.
Yes, ma'am, I do know. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm listening in, and as you're talking, I mean, there are so many underlying principles, for lack of a better word, that you're talking about when
indeed.
You talk about identity. You mentioned actors. You know, people, if you ever look, people are so into what actors do. They can't even have what was considered a normal life, even them having families like everybody, you know, that's normal. That's what most people want. They want to get married. They want to have families. They want to do all of these things. But when a celebrity does it, it becomes this big idea. Oh, my God, Brad Pitt and his wife had a baby. Okay, well.
Millions of people have a baby.
Joe Blow and his wife just had a baby, too. But
right.
Because they're not. And they lose their identity. And I think even as pastors, preachers, ministers, and people who are, you know, in offices that God has placed them in, you know, you have to be careful that you don't lose your identity. First and foremost, you're supposed to identify with God. When people look at you, that's who they should see. They shouldn't see, you know, they shouldn't see, oh, girl, that he's the guy, you know. And I really, you talk about Potiphar's wife. And she
mm-hmm.
didn't have a name. Nobody knows but God. It's never revealed what her name was. But
right.
When people saw her, that's Potiphar's wife. And you have. And I want to give this word of caution, encouragement, however you want to take it, too. I hear so many women say, I want to marry a pastor. I want to marry a minister. Understand what you're getting into.
Amen.
You know, you want people, you want that notoriety to say, as he goes out and speaks, or she goes, whoever, because there's a lot of women pastors preaching now, I like to honor my wife. I like to honor my husband. I like to, you know, they want that notoriety. You
mm-hmm.
know, they want that. But then you have to understand, you know, there's a lot that goes on with that. You know, people are, you know, you're going to come under attack. You got to understand what your role is. Your role as that man's. Of that man or woman of God's wife, you got to stay prayed up. You got to keep them lifted up. You got to carry burdens when they are, you know, that frees them up to do what God has called them to do. So it's
mm-hmm.
more than just saying, my husband's a pastor, or, oh, hi, everybody. There's my lovely wife who I've been married to for 25 years, and she is a godsend. But you're going through hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in warfare on behalf of your husband, keeping him covered in prayer so that the enemy does not attack him, so he can go forth freely in the things of God. It's a lot that goes on with that. So, you know, you got to be careful. You don't become Mary or whatever your name is. You're no longer Sharon, whatever your name may be. Now all you
mm-hmm.
know is, oh, you know her, that's Pastor So-and-so's wife, that's Minister So-and-so's wife, that's Prophet Apostle So-and-so's wife. And people don't even recognize you as the person you are, who
right.
may have a ministry within yourself.
Right.
You know, and you get caught
right.
up. And then when you're not satisfied and fulfilled because you marry for the notoriety as opposed to allowing God to bring that thing together with who he has for you,
mm-hmm.
now you're
mm-hmm.
looking. You're looking because your man of God, oh, he travels. God, that's his ministry. He's traveling. He's gone, you know, and he has not quite learned how to have that balance between his ministry
Amen.
And his family. Now, like Potiphar's wife sought out Joseph, oh, let me come talk to this brother. He's got it going on. He's looking good.
No, that's
see.
Right.
You
Joseph
see what I'm
was
saying?
Fine.
So now you start going out outside of your marriage to try to fill a void that would not be there if you had allowed God to put together what no man can put asunder.
Because mm-hmm.
you're married for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I've talked to women who are married to ministers and stuff like that. Okay. Who? I'm sorry. Somebody came by in the bathroom. But I'm like, okay, did I look like I was on the phone? I'm sorry. Anyway, they come, and you get involved for the wrong reasons, and then now you're looking. I've talked to women who are married to ministers and pastors who are being abused because
mm-hmm.
this and when I'm talking abuse, I'm going to say so-called man of God, a so-called person of God who has now become abusive, they start to get feel like I am God. I have become. So now you must submit to me like you submit to God. So now they get in these abusive relationships. So you have to understand, you know, number one, you have to know who you are. You have to establish your identity and make people identify you. People used to always see me all the time and say, in regards to my son, and say, oh, is that your son? That's Denise's
mm-hmm.
son. That's Edward. My son has a name. That's his identity. Yes, we are related. Yes, that is my son, but he has an identity. Or they would go to talk to him and talk to me. Well, he's right there. You must make people recognize who you are and respect
mm-hmm.
your identity and not allow yourself to be lost, your identity to be lost. Oh, you're Pastor Johnson's wife. No, I'm Sharon Johnson. I'm married to Pastor Johnson. Don't
mm-hmm.
lose your identity because God created you for a purpose. He has
Amen.
Given you the personality and all the things that you need. And when God puts you with someone that you can minister with and you guys begin to build, you don't lose your identity. I love my pastor and his wife. You know, he's the pastor. She co-pastors with him, but she's not Pastor Giddens' wife. She's Helene Giddens.
Mm-hmm.
She has her own identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she's connected to her husband, but she's never lost her identity. And people recognize that. People recognize that, yes, you minister and pastor with your husband, but you also have a ministry. And they respect
Amen.
That about each other. And that is really a beautiful thing to me.
Well, you know something? You know something, Ms. Quiet Storm? Now, you brought up a very important point, and that's why I wanted to talk about Potiphar's wife, because the one thing that will make a person, well, they use it as an excuse. There's no excuse. But the one thing that will make a person cheat is simply neglect. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And with Potiphar was strong. He was, you know, burly. You know, he was admired by other men. But I don't think old boy was too bright upstairs. You know, in other words, he didn't have any intellectual strength. Okay, and I don't think the light bulb was on. You know, but yet he realized what a fine bargain he made in Joseph. So that's probably the smartest move he ever made. And in no time, Potiphar moved Joseph up the ladder, you know, from a lowly servant to a right-hand man. And it was for one reason and one reason only. It was because God was faithful to Joseph because Joseph was faithful to God. Okay? Now, Potiphar may not had it all upstairs, but he knew a good thing when he saw it.
Okay.
Okay.
And, you know,
so,
I'm sorry, let me cut you off just real quick. God will be faithful to you when you're doing things according to God's plan, when you are seeking things for the right reason. And one thing in my life, I hear people, oh, my God, I want to get married. You know what, God, whatever your will is, if it's your will for me to be married, because sometimes when God has a call on your life and the ministry he has for you, it can make it very difficult to maintain a relationship.
Absolutely true.
You know, and it may be, you know, and only God knows his plan, but I'm just throwing this out there. It may be that now is not the time.
Right.
There's
Amen.
A work for you to do. And you know, when you think about the Lord, you know, you have God, then you have your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then your ministry. And if God has called you to a ministry where you really need to be on the road, available 24/7,
you know,
he doesn't want you in a situation where you're neglecting your family or you're stressing out trying to have that balance. So, you know, you know, don't get discouraged. Just continue to seek God and what his will and his timing is. Because when you get married and you get married, you know, I've heard people say, you know, try to force relationships with people that said, I don't want to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they end up hurt thinking because they get what I call the Jesus complex.
Mm-hmm.
I could change their mind, or God complex. I could change their heart. You can't do that. You know, accept what is and be content in that thing that God has placed you in, what he has called you to.
Mm-hmm.
And seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Just stay in the will of God. And trust me, when that, I remember people used to tell me all the time, oh, you're going to get married. And I would cry because I was so enjoying my relationship with God.
Amen.
I didn't want anything to get in the way of that. You know? That and that was at a time, you know, when you it's like when you love something so much, you don't want to lose it, or you don't want to have to split time between this and that, you know. But you have to understand, if you know, God has a will, God has a plan, and I think so many things we say we want, we would have had if we would have stopped trying to force them and allow God to work them out. You know, you might be have married the right man at the wrong time. God was still working some things out in him. And now you're in a situation that's going south real quick. Not to say God can't heal your marriage, but if you had waited on God's timing,
you know,
so many things would have worked out better.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Let's take that to another level, and that goes back to Potiphar's wife. Now, for those of you out there, and I'm talking specifically to you people, now I'm going to bring Joseph in now. The one thing that I absolutely loved about this story between Potiphar's wife and Joseph is Joseph has proven without a doubt that when somebody is throwing themselves at you, you do not have to yield to them. See, Joseph didn't even have that spirit within them. And in our society today, a man will tell you, quit. Well, if you throw it at me, I'm going to take it. Okay, well, that's that filthy, foul, demonic spirit that is within them. And it is something that is acceptable today in our society. Because you've got people that are going around saying, well, don't bring another woman around your man because he'll fall. If he's the right man, he won't fall. He'll tell old girl, listen, I'm married, I'm in love, I love my wife, you need to step off. You see what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of women out there that throw themselves, too. There are a lot of Potiphar's wives out there, a whole lot of them. And they're so opportunistic. It's just like I remember when Pastor Jakes, had said that he used to greet all of his congregations when he was in a much smaller church. And these mm-hmm. women would be up there shaking his hand, rubbing on him, "Oh, pastor, it sure was a good sermon," and all this kind of foolishness. Mm-hmm. And Frederick K. Price said the same thing. So what Frederick mm-hmm. K. Price did was he kept his wife right by his side when he mm-hmm. was greeting them to yeah. cut down that foolishness. You know, no man of God out there should have more women than some of these celebrities, and they do. Go ahead, Ms. Quiet Storm.
Ms. Nolivek, you know what that's called? That's coveting something and not understanding what you're coveting. In other words, you're desiring to have what you think. See, you don't know what happens when they leave the church and go home. You
right.
don't know the struggles that they face. You don't know what they go through. That's why when I hear women say, "I want to marry a minister," do you know what you're asking for?
No,
are
they do not know what they're asking.
Are you prepared for the women to be disrespectful? Because you might have, your husband might have you by his side, but there's some women that will push you right on out the way like you there. They will talk to your husband like you're not there. Are you prepared to handle that?
Pontifar's wives are high and low and near and far.
Are you prepared to handle a situation where your husband might have to go to a hospital when one of the female members call?
Right.
And her intentions may not be pure, and you got to stay home with children.
Right.
You know, there is so much. You have to look at it, and often, you know, people read the scriptures and the stories in the Bible. But now I encourage you, Lord, how does this apply to my life?
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to walk this thing out. I don't know, and I'm sure there's probably people God deals with this way. When God has me study a scripture, he allows a situation in my life to happen where I
mm-hmm.
have to live that scripture. And I get a full, complete revelation of it. Because
mm-hmm.
now I have the revelation from what I studied, but I also have, and I know how to apply it. I have the revelation because I have the experience. See,
right.
you have to, and it's covet. It's in the Bible. I'm not sure where it is, but it's, you know, don't covet. It basically, you know, it talks about don't covet, don't desire what you see someone else have.
Do not commit adultery.
You know, don't covet thy neighbor's ass, meaning don't desire to have. If you see that your neighbor has a donkey and he's looking good, don't covet that, because you don't know what it costs or what that that owner has to go through to take
mm-hmm.
care of it. See,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of things. We see them. I've seen so many. And if you really just get in tune with the Spirit of God and allow him to give you the gift of discernment.
Right.
Or just to be able to discern. You see sometimes those ministers and pastors' wives and for the female ones, their husbands or their children or family members looking good, dressed to the T. They got the shoes, the hat, the suit, the tie, all looking good. But their countenance
mm-hmm.
is like, "Oh my God, I gotta go on and put on it for these people." They're going
uh-huh.
to hell. They're crying out inside. They're hurting because of things that they've had to deal with. They're dealing with accusations of infidelity. You
uh-huh.
know, the husband goes out and he's staying in a hotel, and, you know, or they go to a conference. I've heard it all. Well, you know, some woman went to his room and this, that, and the other. And whether there's no truth to it or not, they have to deal with all of this stuff because they are human beings first. They're
yes.
of this world. They're not, you know, they're flesh. Their flesh reacts. Their emotions get tied up. They don't know what to believe. They want to believe that their husband loves them and is faithful.
Right.
You know. And it may be no merit to that, but just imagine being in love with someone and someone calls you and tells you whether it's true or not. "Girl, I saw your husband." It could be his sister he met for lunch. "I saw your husband
mm-hmm.
with another woman. I saw your husband with another woman." And she
wow.
didn't know he was meeting his sister for lunch. That's going to mess her up a little bit. Let's be real.
Amen.
Let's be real. You know, we want to understand that, you know what, yes, we want to live lives led by the Holy Spirit. We want to live lives led by the Holy Spirit. In relationships, I tell you this, my philosophy, this is me. Put your trust in no man.
Amen.
And even in relationships, I trust God first, because if something's not right, God's going to reveal it to me and give me the solution on how to deal with it.
You know, there are six things that come from Proverbs 6 and 6 through 19 that the Lord
mm-hmm.
hates. And you mentioned the majority of them.
Tongue.
A lying
huh.
tongue, haughty eyes,
mm-hmm.
hands that shed innocent blood, a heart
mm-hmm.
that devises wicked schemes. Hello, Pontifar's
mm-hmm.
wife. Feet
Hello,
that are quick to girl. Now, girl, feet that
mm-hmm.
are quick to rush into evil. A false witness which pours lies. Hello, Pontifer's wife.
Mm.
Because that's exactly what she did, y'all. When Joseph turned her down, she told her husband that Joseph tried to rape her.
Yep.
Okay? And,
yep.
and of course, he believed his wife. Dumb, dumb.
Mm-hmm.
I told you he didn't have it all upstairs.
let me ask this question. Did he believe his wife? Because if he had to have had a great respect for Joseph and know Joseph to put him in the position. So did he really believe his wife, or did he feel he had to do what the people thought he was supposed to do?
Well, you know what? According to Scripture, Pontifar
uh-huh.
got angry, but at whom? Because Joseph
exactly.
was the obvious target of his wrath,
exactly.
although if Pontifar had truly been convinced of Joseph's guilt, the punishment would have been clear and swift. You know, because that's death.
That wasn't the first. I'm sure that wasn't the first time Pontifar's wife had done that.
Absolutely.
That it may not be recorded in Scripture. It might be recorded somewhere else in a historical book or something. But, you know, and at that time, women didn't have an identity once they got married.
Right.
They didn't have an identity. You were your husband's wife.
Right.
Whatever his name, Potiphar, whatever that, that's who you were. You know, and you were, it was a much different time. Even in situations, and you read different stories in the Bible, yes, that's Joseph's wife, her name was. You knew who she was. She was identified
mm-hmm.
because she played a role. You know, there was something about her story that needed to be told, too. But,
yeah, but
you know what?
Uh-huh. But Pontifar believed Joseph because he threw Joseph
in
prison. He didn't kill him. Because if that were true, if he really believed his wife, Joseph
mm-hmm.
would have been dead, you know, a lot sooner
right.
than now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So, you know what, and here's one thing, and I just want to share this, but it's in my heart, you know, because as human beings, we are relational people. We like to relate to other people. We like to have friends. We like to be in relationships, you know, whether it's friendship, whether it's marriage, you know, that is who we are as people. And, you know, sometimes we tend to ignore red flags when it comes to dealing with people. one thing that I have learned to do, when someone begins to become a significant part of your life, you begin to develop a friendship or you begin to have feelings, you know what, set those feelings aside and ask God, show me that person's heart. Show me who they really are. Show me what they're about. Because sometimes you're dealing with a devil in sheep's clothing. What is it, a wolf in sheep's clothing?
No, you said it right the first time, a devil
okay,
in sheep's clothing. You said it right the first time.
You know, because I talk to people who have been in abusive relationships, and one of the things they always say is, he was so nice in the beginning. Ask them to show you that person's heart, what they're really about. What is it that they're really into? Because sometimes there's things that they're into that you don't need to be a part of or even be around that person you know, involved in those things. I promise you, it will save you a lot of headache. It will save you a lot of heartache. It will allow you to set boundaries for that relationship where God can continue to guard your heart and you don't get caught up in the foolishness. You don't have to worry about being lied to because God is going to reveal it.
Since you said that, that's another thing about this situation. Mm-hmm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, okay, going back to Potiphar's wife, you know, let me tell you something. When we stumble, when we do things that we're not supposed to be doing, confession beats a cover-up. It's
not right
easy,
now.
So easy to blame somebody else when we're tempted to sin. It's his fault, it's whose fault, it's her fault, it's whoever's fault, it's God's fault. Potiphar may not have seen through his wife's lies, but the Lord we love looks straight into our hearts. And instead of going for a cover-up, let us confess and repent. The snazziest, most sexiest, seductive lipstick in the world can't compete with clean lips and a clean heart. Well, hallelujah.
There it is. And the church said, amen, amen, pass the collection plate. Look,
amen.
We don't want to hear your change. We just want to feel it. You know?
Amen. Amen.
Leave the pennies in the pocket. If you don't put the change in there, put the silver stuff.
See, and the church said again, ladies and gentlemen, we have about 12 minutes. We have about 12 minutes left in our program. So before we go off the air, if you are a Potiphar's wife, if you are a bad girl, okay, I want to tell you from one form of bad girl to another, the Lord is the God of redemption. He can save you, clean you up, and make you all brand new. Okay? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and resurrected on the cross, then you shall be saved. It's just that simple. It doesn't cost you nothing to receive salvation. I want you to know today that God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care about your education. He doesn't care about your looks. He doesn't care about your money. He doesn't care about how well-spoken you are. He doesn't care about any of those things. There's only one thing he cares about, and that is your soul. There are too many people that have sold their souls out for absolutely, positively nothing. And your soul was bought behind sex, money, power, food, a job, kids. Yes, there are people who have sold their soul for their children. Yes. Okay? It has, and we as Christian people, and even non-Christian, your soul is too high a price to pay for Satan to buy you so cheaply, okay? Just like for an example, for you women out there, if a man wants you, make him earn you. Don't just give yourself away. There's an article that said that the number one thing that keeps an African-American woman broke is treating their boyfriends like their husbands. And I used to be a part of that statistic. And I tell you what, Miss Nolivette ain't a part of that statistic no more. I didn't say no more. I meant no more. I meant just that. So, ladies and gentlemen, I know me.
I'm
so,
sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, go ahead.
When you said that. See, I'm just so, like, not, you know, I'm so on the left side with the people thing. My thing would be, you could go ahead. You start talking to me about money. That is such a big red flag to me.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's a red flag to me. Like, really? You, okay. I'm not getting this, but I got you now. Okay. I'm watching you. You got to be careful. You got to be careful.
Right. Well, I tell you one thing. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end. Now, we're going to continue in our series of Bad Girls of the Bible. There's going to be a part four, so tune in next week and find out who that is. That beautiful other voice that you heard on the other end is my beautiful, beautiful sister, Miss Quiet Storm. And I tell you, I love this woman unconditionally. She knows I love her. She knows that our blood mixes, and what I mean is that I would hurt somebody behind her.
You know. Watch out now. Watch out, y'all. Watch out, y'all. Don't make me call my sister. Don't make me call her.
Don't do that. See, there's some things that the Lord hadn't delivered me out of yet. So, you know, be aware. But anyway, okay, Lord,
like a friend
I repent.
Say, I ain't ready. Like a friend of mine say, I ain't ready to be delivered.
No. I'm trying to let it go. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying. But the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, you can have fun in Christ without all of the profanity, without all of the sinning and all of that. I am a woman that is abstinent. I have been abstinent for quite a while now. Now, even though I don't have a boyfriend, I don't have any regards of a potential boyfriend, I'm not lost in my loneliness. Mm. Oh, I said something then, didn't I? I'm not lost in loneliness. In other words, I have a life. I have a job. I have a business. I have the radio program. There are so many things that I am
God.
A part of. That's right. Yeah, there are so many things that I am a part of that I don't have time to get caught up in loneliness. And the best thing that I am, if I am anything, is that I'm a mom. My daughter, you know, so the thing is, in order to stop sin, you have got to take other alternatives. Case in point, if y'all see somebody fine, please don't be idiots and go by yourself. Mm. Please take some people with you.
If he say hi, that's not leading to a marriage proposal. He just said hi.
No, it is not. And if he tells you fine, that ain't either.
Let me give you guys something really to do. In Corinthians, when it talks about the roles of the single people and the married people, the Bible says the single people care for the things of the church, how they may please God. If you spend your time working in the church, doing the things of the church, working in ministry, ministering to people, and finding out what God has purposed you to do, trust me, you won't have time for all the foolishness.
You will not
be led astray, because the Holy Spirit will send up that red flag and say, wait, nope, don't do that. So just seek how you may please God, how you may care for the things of the church, how you may minister to people, and find and see what your purpose to do. That's the best way to spend your time. And then when you seek God like that, all the other things are going to be added to you. He's going to connect you with people who of like spirit, not just like mine, like spirit, so that you guys can minister and go forth together.
Amen. There are a lot of Christian, single, and married support groups that deal with fornication and adultery. There's some all over the United States, and especially, and I want to say something to the men out there. For all of you men out there, y'all need to be more supportive of each other than you do. You really do. Y'all are too busy criticizing other men that are doing the right thing rather than applauding him for doing the right thing. Oh, man, you a punk. Oh, man, that's weak. What's wrong with you, man? It ain't nothing. That's not of Christ. That's not of the Lord. And y'all need to break up that little boys club that y'all have, because it's not of Christ. Rather than put a man down for being faithful to his wife, or rather than putting a man down for not sleeping around, you need to get some of what he gets. You need to encourage him. You need to become a part of him and ask him, man, how do you sustain? How do you keep from fornicating? How do you keep from committing adultery? You know, I know that there are few and far between, but there are some men out there who are actually faithful to their wives. And they're not necessarily preachers and pastors and evangelists either. These are men of God that really are faithful to their wives. Okay? And believe it or not, it's got nothing to do with whom they're married to. It's about the Holy Ghost that's already in them before they married her. Okay? So we got about 3 minutes left in the program. Anybody you want to shout out to, Miss Quiet Storm?
I want to give a shout out to Alex. Hi, baby. Auntie loves you. And give a shout out to my sis, Nala. Oh, girl, I forgot. Hi, Mom. Give me a shout out to Mom.
Girl.
Mom, I love you.
And you know, I want to shout out to your peeps, too.
Thank you. Thank you. God is good, people. I'm telling you, y'all just don't know. Girl, if you ever do a testimony show, you might have to do a series over about 6 months because God is good. That's all I can say.
You know what?
God,
believe it or not, sometime next month we are going to do a testimony show. As a matter of fact, we're going to do it the last week in March, and we're going to just have people call in, give their testimonies, and that's where that's going to be a two-hour program.
Anyway,
on behalf of my beautiful sister, Miss Quiet Storm, this is your humble servant, Nile Yvette Milligan, signing off. And remember this from Psalms 100, the third verse. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. God bless you today.
This is DYAFN. Devil, you ain't fooling no one. Brought to you by Nile Yvette Milligan. It's Blog Talk Radio, back at it again. Compliments to host Nile Yvette Milligan. True friend, listen in as the healing begin. Once again, kicking Satan smack dead in the chin. Been relieved of his duty, all his works are destroyed. Staying strong in the truth, always walking in joy. Devil, use a lie, you ain't fooling nobody with your toys. Strapped with KJV, 66 to kill all that noise.